God's Son, Jesus Christ, became Emmanuel, God with us, and because of him, we have joy and hope for today and tomorrow. Let us pray. Father God, because of your Son, we can experience true joy. Because of Jesus, we have hope in the midst of difficult times. Jesus came in a way that was totally unexpected, and he changed everything. Surprise us once again, Lord. We sing for joy because you are our strength and our salvation. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. When the cares of our heart are many, your comfort gives us renewed hope and cheer. You alone are worthy of all glory, honor, and power, and today we choose to worship you. Amen. Please stand and join us in singing, or humming and singing in your heart. First, a joyful song, Hope Was Born This Night, followed by two of our most beloved carols, The First Noel and O Little Town of Bethlehem. Please stand.
It's the same that appeared and the wise men revered when hope was born this night. Out upon the snowy fields, there's a silent peace that heals, and it echoes the grace of our Savior's embrace, because hope was born this night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. I can hear the Christmas bells ring as softly a church choir sings. It's the song used to praise the ancient of days when hope was born this night. There are angels in this place, and my heart resounds with the praise. Like a shepherd so scared, I'll rejoice and declare that hope was born this night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. Gloria, 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 glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. I know hope was born this night, because Christ was born this night.
Thank you.
was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night.
Our next song, Christmas Offering, is a beautiful song of acknowledgement that we have little to bring to God that is worthy of who He is and what He has done. Yet we come before His throne and we bring what we have, an offering of worship and praise, an offering of ourselves.
No one on earth deserves the praise.
bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, we bring an offering to you.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you and those of you who are with us by the internet. Good to have you with us as well. Our scripture this morning talks about when Mary and Elizabeth come and meet one another when they're both expecting babies. And there was an angel that played an important part in all of that. An angel named Gabriel came to Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, and gave him a message that his wife was going to have a baby. He didn't really believe it at first because she was older. And then 6 months later, that same angel, Gabriel, came to Mary and told her that she was going to have a very, very special baby. And as I think about that, you know, angels are messengers. We think of them as guardian angels, but they're really, a lot of times, especially in the beginning of Luke's gospel, they're messengers. They're bringing messages. And I thought about that as when I type on my computer, my cat likes to sit next to me, and when she wants me to scratch her ears, she takes her paw and she sticks her claws out just a little bit and she taps me on the hand. And she does that until I scratch her ears. And it's not really painful, but it's just painful enough that I go ahead and I scratch her ears. I know what she wants. I know she wants her ears scratched. And when my dogs are happy, they wag their tails. They let me know. They're sending me a message. We're happy. We're excited. And when our littlest dog, Doodle, barks at us during breakfast, we know that he wants his oatmeal, and he wants it now. So we have ways of sending messages. It's a little harder to use body language right now to send a message because we have masks on. You can't see people smiling, but, you know, we can raise our eyebrows and tell people how glad we are to see them. We bring that message. And that's the thing, you know, the angels were bringing a message about good news, not just about the coming of these very special babies, John and Jesus, but also the good news that God so loved the world that he was sending his only son. That's the message that we have. And that's the message that we're supposed to share, that we're supposed to remind people that, yes, God loves us and loved us so much. He sent his son in the form of a baby, a child that grew and continued to give us the good news. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this time when we celebrate the coming of your love into the world in the flesh. Lord, help us through all that we do and say, the way that we live, share that good news with others. Amen. And now the Cook family is going to come and light the Advent candles.
Today we light the candle of hope, the candle of peace, and the candle of joy, the pink candle. This candle is also known as the Mary candle. Mary demonstrates for us the grace, humility, and determination of the woman who carried the joy of the world, Jesus Christ. We light these candles even as we acknowledge that at times it has been hard to feel joy this year. But Mary showed us the way to carry a great responsibility with faith and determination. As we continue our journey of Advent, may we share her joy, the joy of Emmanuel, God with us. Please join me as we pray together. Holy God,
we thank you for the gift of joy
that is found in Christ Jesus. Flood our heart with joy this Advent season as we reflect on the good news of Jesus' birth. Amen.
This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The glory of Christmas.
Hi, my name's Joel. I'm the director of our church play, The Glory of Christmas. This is my 12th year.
We're okay. Just the stained glass window.
It's going great. The only thing that we lacked was someone to play the role of Mary up until yesterday. But then I found her. And she's perfect.
I got the role of Mary because I'm 31 weeks pregnant. Yep. Two kids in college, and then... Surprise! We're just so... You're so full of joy.
I can't act, Joel. There's no way I can sell this.
No, not true. Your audition was fantastic.
How can it be me? How can I be highly flavored by... God, did I just say flavored? Why can't I stop talking about food?
She's perfect.
Oh, hey, you're Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Heather. I play Mary, your wife.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
I remember you.
Oh?
You played Bunko with my mom. You know, what is Bunko?
Mm-mm.
Nice to meet you.
You must mentally sink into her situation. Yes, yes. Go spend the night in a barn somewhere. The hay will trigger something deep within you. Sorry.
Yeah, it'll trigger something. Trigger something that don't need a hand of histamine. This is good.
Ooh. I'm the least likely person to play Mary, let alone deliver the Son of God. I'm a middle-aged former soccer mom. And the truth is that this baby disrupted some pretty amazing plans we had for our lives. Things we've been looking forward to for years.
Okay, Mary and Joseph, let's take it back to scene 11. Scene 11, please.
Maybe that's how Mary felt. Maybe people stared, unsure of what to tell her. Maybe she doubted. Maybe she doubted, even though God told her not to fear. And then she trusted. She trusted that what God was doing would bring the greatest kind of joy. She would just let go. Let go of her plans, her questions, and...
Here we go. Just let the good shepherd carry you.
Let the good shepherd carry me.
Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. It's to be read responsively, whether present here or whether following along at home. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, there was a sign yesterday that the world is turning a little bit towards normal. Virginia Tech trounced UVA. Maybe not necessarily a sign for rejoicing, but hey, things are going back to normal. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your words read aloud. These words shared between Mary and Elizabeth. These words that remind us that amazing things are afoot. Lord, help us to see where you lead us as we consider the words of these amazing women, your words. May my message be your message. May my words be your words. Amen. Well, there was a teacher who was helping her kindergarten student put on his cowboy boots at the end of the day, and he asked her for help, and she could see why, because even with him pulling and her pushing, these little boots didn't seem to want to go on his feet. And finally, when the second boot was on, she had really worked up a sweat, and the little boy looked at his feet and he said, "They're on the wrong feet." And so they pushed and they pulled and they were able to get them back off of his feet. And so finally they got them back on the right feet. And he looked at his boots and he said, "These aren't my boots." And so she bit her tongue because she didn't want to scream. And she said, "Why didn't you say so?" And then she helped him take the boots back off. But no sooner were the boots off of his feet when he said, "Yeah, these are my little brother's boots, but my mom made me wear them today." And so at that point, she didn't know whether to laugh or cry, but they went back to pushing and pulling. And eventually they wrestled the boots back onto his feet. And as she helped him into his coat, she asked him, "Now, where are your mittens?" And he said, "Oh, I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." I don't know why that story makes me think of 2020. sort of working at this task that seems impossible, and yet you got to do it, and you got to stay sane while you're doing it. Rediscovering joy is our theme for this Sunday. We've rediscovered hope and peace, which I hope will bring us to joy, because we could all use some joy right now. And I know that knowing that the vaccine has been given the approval, the green light to go ahead, and that there are people on the front lines who will soon be receiving it, that is good news. That is joyful news. But have you ever noticed that sometimes it seems like we go through some really tough and difficult things before we come out on the other side and get to joy? I remember a time when my husband's boss decided he was going to be more hands-on with the company, and so he let Mike go so he could do Mike's job. And so eventually he found a position as an assistant manager with a Friendly's restaurant. I don't know if anybody remembers Friendly's. I don't think there are any left. But, you know, you got you could have a meal, and then you could have like a sundae or some kind of ice cream dessert afterwards. And so Mike got this position, and he worked there for 4 weeks. In that whole 4 weeks' time, he got one day off, because every time somebody didn't show up for a shift or somebody quit in the middle of the shift, the manager would call Mike, and he'd have to go, and he'd have to run the grill or scoop the ice cream or mop the floors or wash the dishes, whatever it was that needed doing. And at the end of the month, the manager called Mike into his office, and he said, Mike, are you a Friendly's man? And Mike looked him in the eye, and he said, no, I'm not. I'm not a Friendly's man. And I was okay with that, because that kind of ended the relationship right there between him and Friendly's. But, you know, that put us in a little bit of a predicament, because then, you know, we had to figure out what we were going to do to pay the rent. And so at one point, not long after that, between the two of us, we were working five jobs. And then the engine in our VW bug blew up, and I got pneumonia. And that was the downside of things. But, you know, things looked up. Mike's dad gave us a car. And I'm not going to even pretend that we had too much pride to accept it. I mean, when your back is to the wall, you just say, thank you and hallelujah, praise the Lord. I am so grateful. And as I look back at those times, I'm reminded that I prayed a lot. We had a one-year-old at home, and I prayed for strength often. But perhaps it's no coincidence that I still remember that Christmas Eve church service that we attended as that difficult year drew to a close. I remember what the sanctuary of the church looked like. I remember the words of the Gospel of Luke being read. And I have kept that snapshot of that sanctuary in my mind as the touchstone that I go back to when I need joy in my life. Because sometimes when we go through the hard times, that's when we come out on the other side and we discover joy. We've been going backwards through the birth story of Jesus Christ. We started after Jesus was born with Simeon and Anna in the temple. And then last week we looked at the shepherds out in the fields with the angels coming to them and proclaiming the good news. And today we examine the moment when Mary arrives at the home of her cousin Elizabeth. And the two of them are together. You know, Elizabeth had given up on ever having a child. And then they get this message from Gabriel, her husband does, and he doesn't believe it, and so he's not able to speak until the baby is born. But now Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, and her cousin, Mary, also gets a visit from the angel Gabriel and tells her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and the power of the Most High will overshadow her, and she will bear the Son of God. And so Mary receives this news gracefully, willingly, but she must have known that this was going to present her with challenges, that this was going to make her life more difficult, that she might face some scorn from her neighbors, maybe even from her family, and from her fiancé as well. She would have to tell him that she was pregnant while they were just engaged and not yet married. And so how do you make people believe that the child you're carrying is God's son? And even Joseph couldn't believe the news at first until, well, he was going to break off the engagement until he had a dream that told him to marry Mary, to keep her and wed her and protect this child. And so it's maybe not too surprising that once she gets this announcement, she hurries off to this hill country of Judea to see her cousin, someone who would understand her situation. And if anyone would understand it, it would be Elizabeth. And so she goes. And this is where the joy erupts. Against the backdrop of discouragement and disgrace and grief and shame, the joy comes bursting through for these two mothers to be. Because as Mary comes in and Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the baby leaps in her womb. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Joy bursts up, bursts out, and what a relief it must have been to Mary that she didn't have to explain herself. She didn't have to worry about being understood. She didn't have to do any of that. All she had to do was come and say hello, and suddenly everything was okay. And that baby leaps for joy, and Elizabeth affirms all that Mary has heard, and their joy comes bursting out. Now, Mary would still have to go back home to Nazareth. She would still have to face some questioning looks, probably some whispering as people counted on their fingers. When did she and Joseph tie the knot? When is this baby due? But there was joy in her heart. She sings out, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Her song is designed to magnify, intensify, and reflect what God is doing through her and through the son that she carries. God is announcing this imminent arrival of the promised one, this good news for all of Israel and for us. And so she sings, "He has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." You can feel the joy in this song. And that reminds me of this word that Elizabeth uses, rejoice. Rejoice is a word that crops up a lot in the Bible, a lot in the New Testament as well. And when you think about it, if you think back to your days of English class, you'll remember that that re means again. Turn back to, once more, return. And so rejoice means return to joy. It's a choice, it's an action to return to joy. And I'd like to think that it's also a return to the source of our joy, a return to Jesus Christ. That's where the re comes in. That's where we have to turn to regularly, daily, constantly. Back to Jesus Christ. And it's in that process of turning back to joy, I think, that even though we're in difficult times, even though things are not the way we'd like them to be, I think about the Apostle James and his words at the very beginning of his letter. where he says, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you might be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." And maybe that's the last thing you want to hear this morning, that when you face trials and difficulties, your faith will be increased. Because we don't want to go through trials and problems and difficulties, but we can find joy in them when we see the bigger picture beyond our little point, the big picture that God is pointing to and working towards. I have to confess that as I worked on this sermon, I was not very joyful. I had just gotten word that a friend of mine, a colleague, had died of COVID. And we had worked closely together when we were both on the board of ordained ministry, reading papers and interviewing people on theology. And Travis was someone that I respected and admired. He was a straight shooter, someone who told you what was on his mind, and I appreciated that. He was a great guy. And yet, though I will miss him, and I'm sure there are many who will grieve him more deeply than I will, there is a bigger picture. From my point of view, this is an ending. But it's a beginning for Travis. Don't get me wrong, we've already lost too many people. But I can commend Travis to God, and isn't that what the coming of Christ ultimately is about? We have all been adopted into the family of God so that we have a sure and certain hope that should also give us a quiet kind of joy. I encourage you this year that in the midst of all of this craziness, that we embrace joy, no matter what we're going through. Let's remember each day that we have a deep well, a source of joy in Jesus Christ. Let us seek out happiness, not in the seasonal trappings and traditions around us, some that we can take part in and some we can't. But let's heed the good news, the news that the angels brought. Great joy for all of us. A Savior has been born, our Messiah, the Lord, has come, and he will carry us through and complete his work in us, no matter what. Amen. Well, the work of the church is the work of a great number of people, and so I'm thankful for all of them and all that everyone does. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you do through us. Lord, bless all of those who have worked to make us the body of Christ in the world. Bless all that we offer, whether it is in word or deed or anything that helps to further your kingdom. Bless the givers and help us to see you in one another. Amen. We have a few announcements. We are going to have a virtual Christmas Eve service this year. We'll be broadcasting it at 7 p.m. on December 24th, rather than an in-person Christmas Eve service. So I ask you to join us at 7 on Christmas Eve. Also, if you haven't done a Christmas greeting, and send it to Danny, we encourage you to do that. And if you'd like to stay after church for a little bit and let us record you giving your Christmas greeting, we would love to do that as well. The Bums Post Office is open. We'll deliver your letters for a small donation, so keep that in mind. And next Sunday at 7 p.m. Will be our Bethany Family Christmas Special, Away in the Manger, which is going to be airing on Facebook. So I lift that up to you. Do we have any other announcements?
Okay, that is plenty enough. And yes. Thank you. Jackie's reminding me that the poinsettias are in place to remind us, or they are in memory or in honor of folks that we're remembering this morning. And I wonder if we'll have, usually we have a booklet, but we'll work that out. We will, because I know that we want to let people know about that and what the folks who are, have had, I was given in memory of them and those that they're honoring. Anything else? Okay. A couple of prayer concerns. We want to be in prayer for Gary Ruhlman, who's had shoulder surgery on Wednesday, but is still in the hospital having some chest pains. So we lift him up to you. Kristen Kyle is having shoulder surgery again, and Bishop Lewis's, our bishop's mom passed away this week, so keep her and her family in your prayers. Any others? Let us pray. Gracious God, divine creator, we come together and we pray for those who are on the front lines, for those who are working with people who are sick, those who are doing all of those essential jobs. We pray for them especially this morning. Lord, keep them safe. Help us to show our appreciation to them for all that they do. Gracious God, at times we may become impatient. We may say, this has just gone on too long. But Lord, help us to be patient. Help us to remember that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope ahead of us. There is joy through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering with illness and ask that you pour out healing upon them. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them hope in the power of the resurrection to bring new life, not just in the next life, but in this life as well. Where there is brokenness, Lord, bring healing. We pray for our church and for our churches across the country, throughout the world, for those churches that are struggling in these times when we cannot gather the way we would like to gather. But Lord, we know that through you and through your power, through your Holy Spirit, you can continue to make us the body of Christ in the world. It is in the name of your Son that I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we're going to, we can hum along to Angels We Have Heard on High.
Echo.
let us stand as we're able. As you go forth, may you go forth lifted by the joy of the season that God so loved you that he sent his son so that we might know the joy of his love. Amen.